You are listening to a special edition podcast for Thor, The Dark World. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special edition of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast for Thor the Dark World. We know we've been gone a while. Listen to our main show to understand why. But without further ado, joining the panel, a lifelong worshiper at the altar of Walt Simonson. Try to say altar and Walter at the same time. You will trip yourself.
Altar Walter.
God damn it. Taser, welcome once again to the show.
Thor kicked booty!
There you go.
That Natalie Portman booty.
No. Whatever. Cat Dennings for the win, damn it.
Yeah, nah, she wasn't showing him off like she does in Two Broke Girls, though. She had it under wraps this time.
That, I still like Cat Dennings' character. I
Fair
like
enough.
Her in the first Thor.
Fair Way enough.
More so than fucking skinny, whatever her name is.
Natalie Portman.
Oh, she kept her. Yeah, and she's the one person you would have liked seeing the pants come
and,
off.
And the next man speaking, our newest member, which you'll hear more details on our regular show, Mr. Jonathan Cartwright, a.k.a. Gamma John, member of the Valiant Universe. Jonathan, welcome to the show, and a permanent member of our show.
Yay, I appreciate the invite, and I'm going to hope that I can live up to the high quality and standards that we've seen established on here.
I try.
Valiant for the win!
All right, and last but not least, the man who is currently working at a convenience store, Mr. Brian Powers.
Yo.
Brady's going to lose tonight, boy.
I don't think so, man. But then again, it's Monday Night Football, so I don't think anyone's really watching.
I'm watching. Yeah. I don't know why you're not watching. You can't multitask, you son of a bitch. Anyways.
Well, excuse me, but I'm reading our book of the week and doing this podcast, so that's... give me a second here.
All right. Well, as you know, Thor the Dark World was released 10 days ago in theaters on Veterans Day weekend. If you see a veteran, say thank you. Because without
them,
without them, we wouldn't have be able to have the ability to do this podcasting or the freedom to do it. Anyways, so let's get right into what we liked about Thor the Dark World. Jonathan, since you are new, I want to give you first go. What did you like? Also, spoilers, because we will be spoiling major shit in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, no shit.
And we will be talking about the post-credit sequence. We will get to that.
Both of them?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously both of them. One's more important than the other. But
I know. I mean, that giant fucking thing in the mortal realm. Are you kidding me?
I know.
It's crazy.
and that thing with the thingy thing that did the thing?
Yeah, and the other thing.
Yeah, with the thing, yeah.
All right. Johnny, what did you like?
And Cora sucked.
What did you think?
There.
What did you think?
Motherfucker, we talk about this at the appropriate time and location.
Are we done now?
Okay, Otacon.
Okay. I loved the movie. I really was like, oh. You know, I just, my wife was sitting next to me, and she's like, do I need to leave you alone? You know? it was really good. It just, I love, you know, obviously, Loki, when he popped up, stole the show. You know, but I loved the end jokes they did. I loved how they actually made Thor a badass, and just he came in, kicked ass, took names, and just he wasn't somebody to mess with. As an old Thor fan, I really liked the end joke where when he first pops up and they have the big rock guy confront him. It looked exactly like the men from Saturn guys from the very first.
Yeah.
And my wife was wondering why I was laughing so hard aside from him getting the hammer right up the esophagus. And I said, it's because it looks just a lot like the guys you first did in the comics. And she had to kind of it was like, I'll wait until after the movie's over with and we're out where I can hear you, because you're going to be, she knew I was going to be laughing and just be, you know. And when they did some of the end, when I caught some of the end jokes and stuff that I know we'll be talking about, I was just like, you know, just laughing, just trying so hard not to be like, you know, the stereotypical fanboy. Because I was just like, oh. And great effects. The dark elves were pretty cool looking. I mean, I didn't necessarily like how they spun them the way they did, but I know that since it's the cinematic verse, things are going to be different. David Eccleston was pretty good as Macbeth, and you know, being the main villain. And I liked the Simonson stuff that they did in there. If it wasn't necessarily the proper way to do it, at least it was in there. And you had the Kirby touch in it, you had the Simonson touch in it, and it sets it up for the next movie. It makes you want to see, you know, not have to wait until after fucking Avengers 2 just to see Thor 3. And I was happy with it. And the end credit scene, the first one, I was just like, holy shit, they're going there. And I spent like 30 minutes explaining why I was having such a, spaz moment in the theater when they did it. And, you know, and I explained to her what stories that it was based off of and what they were trying to do. And, you know, so I really enjoyed it. I loved Kat Dennings. She almost stole the, what scene she did have, she was hilarious. And Natalie Portman was pretty good as Jane Foster, but I've never been a real big fan of this version of Jane Foster that they've done. But again, it's the cinematic verse. They're going to do some things differently, and I'm not going to be like some of these other people that just go, well, you can't do it that way because it's not, you know, like Wolverine 6 foot fucking tall when he's supposed to be 5'3", that kind of thing. I'm just like, fuck you, just enjoy the movie. They're getting it mostly right. It's not Captain America with an Italian red skull and rubber ears. Be happy, you know? And that's all I've got to say about it until we can get more in-depth into it. It really was a good movie.
Okay. B-Rye, let's go with you next. What did you like about Thor the Dark World?
Well, as Jonathan already pointed out, Thor was absolutely badass in this movie. He stepped it up a notch in terms of just swinging his hammer, laying down the law. Loki, of course, obviously, when the people at Marvel struck upon the idea that, hey, the fan base, the girls especially, they kind of like this Tom Hiddleston kid. What should we do with it? Well, put him in the movie more. And I should say it worked absolutely all the way through, including his ending, his grand finale, sort of, and not what you're thinking of, because that really blew my mind for a second about what Thor 3 is going to be like and what they're going to do with the character from here on out. What else do we got? Oh, right. Chris Evans as Captain America.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
Okay, can I stop you for a second? Can I stop you for a second? The theater I was watching, it was pretty full for a Veterans Day because most kids were still in school. It was pretty packed. Erupted in cheers when he showed up. It was great.
My hat's off to Mr. Chris Evans. He pulled it off without. He's seamless. It was perfect. what do we got? Oh, despite the minimalization of the role, I enjoyed Zach Levi as Fangirl. They had to recast him from the last actor, Joshua Dallas, who's charming on Once Upon a Time Now, if I'm not mistaken. And so,
you know, I honestly did not even notice it was him.
Same here.
Most people would. Same here.
I looked right through him. I didn't see Chuck at all.
I know.
It didn't even sound like him. I kind of went, whatever. I just knew it wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, well, it was a funny story because actually he was originally pegged as Fangirl, but he had to drop out because of Chuck, so they got Joshua Dallas, but then Josh Dallas couldn't do it because he had Once Upon a Time, so they brought Zach Levi in to cover the role for him. So it's a big circle, you know? But
circle of life!
As a fan of Chuck from the jump, I was happy to see him again, even if it was just sort of a brief role, because I know he's a real big nerd, so... What else? And it's not really a particular thing, but just sort of a series of moments. Basically, everyone just threatening to kill Loki as they were arranging the first half, where it's like, you're going to kill me? Oh, apparently there's a line. So, you know. And he just does not give a fuck. And Malekith, for what he was given, Christopher Eccleston did very well. I will give him that. I'll get into that a bit more in the next segment, unfortunately, but I felt he did a decent job with the role. And, of course, the not only the broadening of the Thor universe into like the Nine Realms, the sort of journey into mystery stuff, but also the setup for the forthcoming, you know, Avengers sequel, and into the more Marvel cosmic side of things is really something to look forward to. So that really made me happy. So that's really all I got to say on that. I mean, I feel bad. I'm not sure I didn't take everything. But.
All right. What I did like, Chris Hemsworth. I don't know how anybody, but the fucking man, they kind of nailed Thor in him. Like, I really liked him in Thor, but here his true charmingness, I think, came out even more. You know, he's Thor now. You know, he's gonna be. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's like Robert Downey Jr. level of being the character, but he's pretty damn close. I really enjoyed Natalie Portman's character. I think I'm maybe one of the only few people who does. Like, I really like when she's on screen. I really like her interactions with Thor.
I like her, too.
And none of y'all are talking about the fucking epic final battle sequence of them literally traveling through the Nine Realms.
Duking it out.
I mean, that was like, holy fucking shit. That was some fun shit. And I like that it was set in London, you know, not like anywhere in America. So that was a nice change of pace. I thought it was interesting. I actually like the more sci-fi look that they're going with, despite that, you know, a lot of people associate Thor with gods and stuff like that. But as Jonathan said, this is the cinematic universe. They're clearly going sci-fi. And this felt like a very much more, you know, had more sci-fi elements to it, which I thought was, that's fun. Although, when I saw Malekith's ship, I could not help but think of Beta Ray Bill's ship. I was like, oh my god, is Beta Ray Bill in this movie? It kind of... Exactly. It had the same kind of design from afar, but then I realized it's not him. It would have been cool to see Beta Ray Bill in the movie, since Malekith was in it already. Why not? Another Simonson creation. And to me, my favorite part in the moment is that sequence of them breaking Loki out of jail, where it's you have the combination of Loki and Thor bickering like brothers. You have everybody threatening to kill Loki with the flashbacks of like, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? I thought the edited worked out perfectly and was wonderful. And y'all remember a couple weeks ago that they had said that they had to fly Josh Whedon in to do some rewrites. And I could not, like, as soon as they started bickering and bantering back and forth, I was like, well, that's clearly a Josh Whedon scene, because it just felt, and it wasn't a distraction, but it felt like that was a completely different, done by a different
internal
person.
Conversation. That's what he does best.
Who, Whedon? Mm-hmm.
Whedon, yeah.
Well, it was like
within characters.
Yeah.
Like natural dialogue within characters, not just, you know, whatever we have to say to move the story along, but shit between them.
Yeah.
That's incidental. Whedon does that really good.
Yeah. It was,
you can see a lot of that in Buffy.
Yeah.
And Angel.
Yeah, and it was evident when they the whole sequence when up until spoilers. Thor gets his hand chopped off, and Loki seemingly betrayed him to the Dark Elves, which, here's where you call me a sucker, I fell for it, because it's fucking Loki, and of course, he is because I was like, holy shit, they cut Thor's hand off, and of course, Loki turning him over, because everybody said it, that was like the joke, you betray him, like, oh, I know, and then he does it, and I'm like, well, that's fucking Loki, of course he does, and then, of course, the reveal that he didn't, you know, it was actually more funnier than I thought it was. I really enjoyed this movie. That's what I like. So let's go to Taser, who's probably the hardest critic of them all here. What did you think?
I loved the movie. I left it feeling satisfied.
Wow.
It gave me a much warmer sense of being than that first movie did, because the first movie still gives me problems. That's not to say this one didn't have problems, being first of which, as Iggy brought up, the fact that they're not gods. that just annoys the fuck out of me. You know, why can't they have that? I don't give a shit that it's a cinematic universe in or whatever else you got to say. There's nothing to be taken away by having it like that. You know, nothing at all. It wouldn't do anything, and if anything, in my opinion, it diminishes it. Okay, because we know if it was Hercules, it'd be no problem. You know, so to do this here is just like really seriously. On top of which, they turned Asgard into fucking Coruscant. I mean,
they turned it into Naboo. They turned it into Naboo.
They turned it. It's fucking Star Wars. They had ships coming in firing lasers. And then you see Asgardian flying chariots firing lasers.
Hey, T-Man, what did you like about the movie first?
They had fucking the flyers from the Dark Elves looked like B-Wings. I mean...
Yeah, I kind of got that.
Come on! They were fucking B-Wings, you know? And you know, they the only thing they didn't have was the... You know, the swooping noises from Star Wars.
Well, that's just trademark.
And
so they
big
can't
fucking
just...
laser cannons on top of the fucking
actually,
building.
They can.
Skywalker Sound did the movie.
Of course.
But, you know, I did like the movie. They were shit that just made me go, what the fuck? Well,
You know what really reminded me of Star Wars, real quick?
What?
When Frigga dies, and she's being carried away like that—not when she's like falls, like her body's up to—but that shot of her being carried on the horses, I'm like, you know, if you put what's her face on
Natalie Portman
on it, you had the exact same scene from Episode 3.
Okay, I didn't think it.
Glad I'm not the only one who got the Star Wars.
Now you're gonna make me go back and watch that one just so I can see the similarity. So
I am glad I'm not the only one who got the Star Wars feel from watching this, which isn't a bad thing, not to me. I like Star
Wars. Yeah, but see, Star Wars is something you reach for when you don't know what else to do, and, well, I don't know. Hey, if we aim it like Star Wars, people will understand that, and that's what they did, and lots of people will probably come away thinking, well, this was really good stuff, and it was just like Star Wars. Then it's not fucking Star Wars. It's Thor. Thor should be his own thing, not like Star Wars. Captain America should be his own thing, not like, I don't know, fucking Batman or something. I don't know, but
I think
you should
be
the
only one who
has comparisons
to that.
You know, and there's too much science in Thor. You know, Thor is not a science character. He's mythological. And to have them take that away, it still bothers me. That's a big thing that bothers me. But despite all, and hold on, I gotta say this. They had Adewale, Adoga, Agabe, whatever the fuck his name is, the black guy who became Curse. He played Adebisi in Oz. So if you've seen Oz, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
big African guy who was the big black elf.
You mean the only black in the entire Dark Elf race?
But you know what?
I'm so not gonna go there.
What kills me is that they did Christopher Eccleston's character in, like, full-on makeup, so you couldn't really see it was him. And you also didn't get a whole lot of face time, and that's fine. But with, you know, Adebisi, because I can't say his first name, his real first name. With Adebisi, they just put some ears on him and, you know, sent him out there. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They could have done the same thing, put the white makeup on him and everything, and it would have been fine, at least consistent. Here, it was just, hey, look, black eye elf. You know?
We acknowledge different races.
You know, it's
diversity.
One thing to not have... It's one thing to not have the white guy fan club. And no offense to you guys, but it's one thing to not have that, where every human who comes up and is a superhuman is Caucasian. All right, fine, I get that. But we're talking other planes of existence, other realms, even other planets if you want to go that route. So to just kind of go black whatever is insulting. I mean, there's no need for that. Even if you wanted to make one female, fine, but there's no reason for you to black eye. because it's just like, you know, it's such an afterthought that it's like a tossaway thought, which is an insulting thought to me. That's how I felt, you know? If he had had the same color, and really the point is, he could have played that role in the same makeup and it would have been fine and I wouldn't have had a problem. It's just the fact that he's so obviously a black guy who's also a, you know, black guy's a dark elf. You know, come on. You could do better than that. Eh.
Where were the Hispanic dark elves?
Mm. Yep. Well, look, if they'd have had, I don't know, if they'd have had Iggy as a dark elf.
I would have loved to have been part of Thor Dark World.
But I would have had him in the full makeup. Because he just would have been a Hispanic
man. Oh, real nice, Taser. Put him in white face. That's nice.
I'm just saying, look, you show me a dark elf speaking, you know, Spanish.
I thought you were going to say
you would have been fine.
Hey, Holmes, we're going to go Thor, eh?
But, you know, these are the things that just bother me. But they didn't bother me enough to make me not like this movie. There was... The visuals in this movie, with them bouncing around all over the place, freaking Mjolnir zipping across the cosmos trying to find Thor. I had fun. This movie gave me so much fun. I am thankful for it because I didn't have a lot of hope because the first one had disappointed me so much that we ended up here. And even with the loss of Frigga, which I was, you know, kind of disappointed, but, you know, if they really were as guardians, we know where Frigga went. But since they're not really as guardians.
We don't know where she went.
You know, I'm just saying. But, you know, this movie was worth full price. I don't say that too often.
Considering you were extremely worried from the trailers. Yes. That says something. So
I think that's the rule now. If I'm worried about a movie, because I mean, remember the trailers didn't show shit.
No,
the trailers showed the start of the attack on England and little teeny tiny tidbits in between, but they didn't show shit else. So if I'm worried about the trailer, then maybe that's a good thing. Because I was worried
what
about
the hell does that say about Guardians of the Galaxy? Then
I have no hope for that movie, so it's probably going to be a blockbuster.
We'll talk more. We'll talk more Guardians.
Speaking of that,
we'll talk more Guardians. In a bit.
What happened?
We're going to talk more Guardians in a bit.
Okay. The first bit with the collector.
Whoa! Hold on. Let's get through what we didn't like, and we'll get to the after.
Okay. And I'll just finish up and say it's not worth 3D. I'll say that.
It's almost never worth 3D, but it is worth
full price as a conventional movie. It was time well spent. Mm-hmm. Go see it if you haven't already. Trust the Taser. There you go.
When Taser likes something, it's pretty much going to be good. He doesn't like a lot. So Taser, you've already said what you didn't like about the movie. So I'm going to go ahead and say the only thing I did not like about this movie were two things. Were Christopher Eccleston's character, who was very much, and it isn't a bad thing, the by the numbers, I want to destroy everything. I want to kill everything. I want to bring it to the darkness.
Yeah, they didn't give a whole lot with for him.
Having read Malekith, I mean, he's not one of my favorite villains. He's not one of my more memorable villains, but like, when you get an actor like Christopher Eccleston, you know, I would have expected something.
He's just not terribly complex.
No, he's not. Yeah, when we've been treated to villains who have this complexity to them over the past 15, 10 years, 12 years, it kind of makes his performance water seem simple and not as good. I liked it for what it was. I was kind of happy to see the standard. I just want to kill everything because I hate how things are. I liked it. I did not the beginning of the movie was really slow to me. It wasn't until I think it picked up a little bit when Thor picked up Jane. By the way, we did not mention the great Stellan Skarsgård's parts.
Oh my god!
Oh,
those are fucking great. I should put on my pants. You people don't understand. If you haven't seen this movie, there was a lot of great humor in this. Like not RDJ spontaneous humor, but great, well-written, well-placed humor. So
it's raining.
I put out my pants on. Not having pants on and running around naked will save the world.
When he went to hug Natalie Portman and they zoomed out to where he wasn't wearing pants, everyone in my audience was like, "Oh God." It was great. So Stellan Skarsgård was great, and of course, callback to the Avengers. Like, you've ever had a god in your head? I don't recommend it, which that was nice.
Yeah.
And when Thor tells him Loki's dead,
he's like, "Oh, it's excellent. I'm very sorry for your loss." It was great. It was great. I just didn't like the only thing I did not like. I felt at the very beginning of the movie, up until when Natalie Portman goes to Asgard, that it was very slow moving. And even then, it was still slow. It wasn't really until Frigga was killed that I really started shit started to amp up, and the movie was halfway over at that point. I mean, it's not bad, but it was just a little slow, and I was like, well, okay, I like things about it, but it wasn't enough. You know what I mean? It wasn't until shit got real when I liked when it got it. But other than that, this movie was damn near good. B. Pry, I know you have a problem. Bone to pick with Malekith.
Not really. But I do have an issue I want to bring up. And it kind of covers already what you said. It's not that, because when Christopher Eccleston gets to that, the climactic battle in London, and he grandstands, he fucking grandstands. I mean, it's one thing I think he brought to the film, but the thing is, he's treated as such like a cardboard cutout placeholder of a villain. Just kind of like, this is evil man. He is going to do evil things. Quickly, we must stop him. He's almost shorn down to a plot device, because the whole thing with him is like, okay, we need Loki's help. So we get Loki out. And that's another thing. The supporting cast, I thought, was really kind of downsized. And I'm not sure. Maybe I just have, you know, rose-tinted glasses looking back at the first Thor film. But it feels like they were almost, I mean, Hogan is pretty much knocked out within the first 5 minutes. Kind of like, no,
yeah. Here, I have to stay with my the Asian guy. What, you're surprised?
I have to stay with my finger.
Stuff. And then he gets one little callback during the big battle, like, oh, I don't even know what that is. Meanwhile, Fandral, Volstagg, and Sif get decent send-offs.
Volstagg doesn't even get a decent send-off. He beats up Asgardian guards.
He holds them all off, that's the thing, you know. And another thing is, looking at the trailers, it looks like they were implying more with the whole Thor, Jane, Sif angle than they actually got around to. It was kind of like one quick dirty look, it's kind of like, oh, okay, and just done. And not to say I approve of love triangles. They bore me to death, and I do not want them anywhere in this movie. So
thank you.
That's good. But they need to work on just the character development outside of that. And that being said, it almost lends itself to maybe developing a Journey into Mystery solo movie where you just look at the supporting characters instead. Because there's Thor. The thing with Thor is he's got such a big freaking universe to look at. There's 9 realms filled with every manner of character. And it's hard to condense all of that color and culture down into just like 2 hours. And for
it's
what
easy, they just turn them into space aliens like they've done.
They did. They took what they needed to, and they condensed it down, which is fine.
But
thing about Thor is, what makes him so interesting is just the world he inhabits. He's in part of a bigger world. So while I am satisfied immensely with what we got, I can't help but feel like, not that this movie failed in that respect, but they could bring us more, I feel, if they really wanted to. So that's not so much a pet peeve as I'm on the lookout for anything on the horizon, because I believe I read somewhere Marvel Studios released a press statement saying, before the film was released, actually, that a solo project for Loki was a true and viable option at this point.
Wouldn't doubt it.
No, not at all. Not with the following Tom Hiddleston has. I mean, have you been on Tumblr lately? They're blowing up Tom Hiddleston. They love Hiddles, as they call him on Tumblr.
He's a charismatic son of a bitch.
Yeah, but you realize, of course, that part of that is that the Thor and Loki, They've gone out of their way
to the Thor and Loki dynamic. It's there.
Exactly, but they've gone out of their way to make the Thor and Loki dynamic something akin to more arguing brothers than foes. And on top of which, they've made Thor and Loki both not so much ruggedly handsome, but, you know, still like young man handsome. You know, I mean, you got Thor
you,
with his...
You magnificent bastard.
I'm saying, look, Thor had his wet locks. You know, freaking pseudo-curly, long blonde hair. You know, and Loki had his wild boy smile, you know, and as he just smiled at the slap, which I kind of went, he took bullets to the face and didn't do shit. Her slap moves his head. Well, what the fuck? You know, it's a movie.
Maybe it was for dramatic effect.
Bullshit. It was done because somebody isn't paying attention. But what I'm saying is Thor and Loki are both the way they are because, well, they're angling for females. They want the women to come. They don't want it to be, you know, the boys' playground.
Look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Which kind of says it all.
There's something wrong with that. If they can play the role, they play the role fine. They're not terrible. If they're good-looking men, there's nothing wrong with that. No. There's nothing wrong with that.
So, tabling that for the moment. I felt the villain... Like you said, it wasn't all that fleshed out. They could have given Christopher Eccleston more for what he had. Supporting cast could have used a bit of a bump. It's just the first, like, I don't know, the first, like, movie up until the point where Thor grabs Jane's kind of like, come away with me, and boom. Up until that point, it does move kind of slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that having been said, like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it did have its sort of lulls in there. Mm-hmm. And the opening of the movie is one of them. More than makes up for it with the second and third act, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like while this movie was immensely enjoyable, they didn't move up a lot from the first one. I mean, not to say that I didn't enjoy either, though, because I enjoyed both. You know, the first Thor movie was probably my favorite film in the franchise up until Avengers or so. But I felt like it wasn't much growth for any of the characters of the franchise. It was sort of like a lateral move in that respect.
Well, Thor kind of matured a little bit.
Only a little bit,
though. I mean, he basically told his, well, not really his dad, but Loki, but, like, I don't want the throne, father.
Yeah, I know, but this is what I kind of have come to see as a similar problem it had with Iron Man 2, where it's growth towards setting up for something that will come later. It's not, you don't see it happen in front of you. You see it sort of like coalesce, but it won't have any effects until the next time you see the character, which, as I think, which should be pointed out, won't be until after the Avengers sequel. So, that having been said, I felt they could have done a bit more... possibly character-wise and stuff, but otherwise, like I said, it wasn't too bad. I still enjoyed it. I give it 2 thumbs up. I recommend seeing it.
All right, so we all generally like Thor. It was a really good movie. It was a good... Mm-hmm. Next up...
Yes, it was.
All right, before... I know we're going to go on. I'm not going to skip it. So next up on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, April 4th, 2014, Captain America. Hey, you actually like the trailer, which means it's going to suck, and I'm going to rip your throat out.
Like the trailer.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You said you
I did.
Guys, we haven't talked about it yet.
We've talked about it off screen.
I thought we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, we're talking about... No, I was turning to Cap right now.
I was
turning to Cap. You liked the Cap trailer.
Yes, I did.
But we'll talk about that later. But I was just saying, next up is Cap. But before Cap, we got 2 post-credit sequences. One matters, the other one doesn't. We're talking about the one that matters first. Okay, I will say this right now. I did not know that was Benicio del Toro. At first,
right?
Really?
I had to do a double take. I didn't know that was him.
I didn't know.
Seriously?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Okay. Take. This is.
Oh, they got Mexicans in space now. That's something.
He's not even Mexican. Whatever. I don't think. Whatever. Okay. So take. You get. So okay. This is the comparison I'm going to make. We go from this beautiful Asgardian, 9 worlds traveling, extravagant set, CGI, whatever. They looked amazing, right? Yeah. Then we go to this that looks like something it was built off in 5 minutes on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm not talking about what the reveal was. I'm just talking about the pure aesthetics. I was like, wait, what the fuck are we? What the fuck is this? Who is this weird... What's the Buffalo Eye Bill motherfucker doing? What the fuck? That's the first thought I had with it. And I was like, what the? And of course they brought the ether, which was the whole crux of the movie. The thing that basically I can't remember what the ether was now. It was just so forgettable as a thing. And I'm going to tell y'all, so apparently they're going to the collector, who they don't mention is the collector. You have to know that through outside sources. Mm-hmm. They never say his name. I didn't even know who that was. I knew, thanks to Brian, and I'm kind of glad maybe Brian...
Didn't they say his name?
I don't remember.
I could have sworn he said that he was the collector.
That doesn't mean it's his name, though. It can mean you're a collector.
They said his legit name. They introduced him as so-and-so the collector.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Okay, I don't remember. It's been 10 days. Okay, so... Okay, I'm wrong. So, it appears that the ether, they go to him because they're delivering the ether. At least that is the ether, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
In its contained form.
Yes, it's answers.
So, what would Asgardians do, and everything like that? What are you doing here? Okay, despite that we... I'm trying to figure out how to process this words because it pissed somebody off. So it turns out that the ether is a infinity stone. And guess what else is an infinity stone? Anybody else want to guess?
Ooh! Is it the Tesseract?
The Tesseract is apparently also an infinity stone.
What?
So, the Asgardians, presumably Odin does not want to have two of them because that would probably be very dangerous and make Asgard even more susceptible to attacks by one mad titan known as Thanos. So it looks like they didn't call them gems, they called them stones.
And they're not really stones.
They're sort of like, one's a cube, one is a...
Two giant stone monoliths with a liquid in between it, like an Oreo.
Yeah, so it's... And the collector has now been tasked, which I can only speculate that means the Guardians of the Galaxy will be trying to steal that shit in the next movie, which leads them to...
Raising hand.
What?
That can't be the ether, because the ether went kablooey.
So then what is it then?
It's the ether. They've gone on record as saying it's the ether.
Yeah, they did.
Then that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but okay. What I thought that was they had gotten the Tesseract back. You can't just say the Cosmic Cube. They call it the Tesseract. Fine, fuck it, whatever.
Well, now we know it's not the Cosmic Cube. It's an Infinity Stone.
Which I also...
We'll get to that in a second. Let Taser finish his thought.
Which is fine. My thing is also, we saw the Infinity Gauntlet. See, what I thought was they had dismantled the gauntlet and was spreading the stones out, separating them.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's what I thought, because there's no way that... see them collect the ether is what I'm saying, so there's no way that could be that. Plus, they mentioned Infinity Stone, so...
That makes sense, considering they show the Infinity Gauntlet in the trophy room in Asgard in the first...
Exactly. Part. So that's why I didn't think that was
the gauntlet didn't have the stones in them?
No.
How big is that gauntlet?
No, the gauntlet. No, we saw the gauntlet. It had the stones.
Are you sure?
Yes, it had the stones.
I don't remember that. I have to look at this.
I'm going to have to look it up tonight.
Somebody has to look at this.
Okay, just can I'll we look move it up on tonight. With this, please?
Well,
that's all I wanted to say. I didn't think that was the ether, because we didn't see... There was no collection of it. We saw it leave and get into Malekith, and we saw what happened to Malekith. So as far as I knew, there's no possible way that could be that. Now, if they afterwards said, well, yeah, it was... Then, okay, I bow to their stupidity. But
well,
I
didn't they say in the film you can't destroy it?
They did.
Maybe
I'm sure that was the whole plot
also
point.
See them collect it. You know what I'm saying? So there would have had to have been some means for them to condense it and put it somewhere, and we didn't see that.
Yeah, well,
which is where I'm coming from.
Okay,
you know. Now, I'm not saying it didn't.
You also didn't see how Sif and Volsag traveled through space to meet the collector wherever the hell he wanted.
True enough.
That being
we didn't
said,
see the spaceship that they used. Okay.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
You know, but I'm just saying, I honestly thought that it was one of the gems. you know, rather than the ether as
well. It is an Infinity Stone. I don't know what that means. Say gem or stone.
I could interswitch in this one, and it would be fine for me. I understand what you're saying, but for me,
they said it for a specific reason. They know the comic book audience. They know if we said Infinity Gem, it means something. Why would they name it Stone? That's my question. What does that mean?
Because
for the same reason that they said that the Asgardians weren't gods, because it doesn't matter. You know, I mean,
it's science.
Yeah, exactly. Thor's a science guy.
All right.
Yay!
So it has me interested, but my God, I hated how that set looked. It looks so fucking made on the fly.
I'll agree with that. I
agree. It looked really
cheap. And if that isn't any indication, because this was directed by James Gunn, by the way, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, that particular segment of the movie. If that's what Guardians of the Galaxy looks like, oh my God, that's awful. I hope that's
maybe
not the case.
It's the budget.
I hope it's not the case, because if that's what it looks like, that's going to kill it, because people are automatically going to think it's just a sci-fi movie put on the big screen.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
Look, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying, because we haven't seen it, like, outside of that leaked trailer, and it's hard to tell what the set
is. Dude,
it
was an after-credits scene. They put about as much thought into those as they do in just the little name drops they do. I mean, come on.
How do you know they just didn't use
it? The original after-credits scene for Thor, the first movie, was just Eric Selvig in a dark room with Nick Fury, kind of like, oh, hey, look at this, I got a shiny cube. You want to come look at the cube? And, oh, it's Loki.
That's different. Here, you're setting up Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's what that was. What I'm saying is this. If that little set piece is any indication on what
it's not, you're overblowing it.
I'm just saying I'm a little worried if that's what it looks like.
Whatever.
Because that looks super cheap, and that's ridiculous.
Whatever.
Well, to be fair, like at the end of I think it was Iron Man 2 when they did the whole thing where he found the hammer. You know, that didn't exactly look like they spent much money. And granted, it was outside location.
That's simple, though. But, here, you're introducing a whole new thing altogether. You can make it look better than a sci-fi set, is what I'm saying.
I know. It looked like a flashback to classic Doctor Who. Low budget.
Well, it was either that or it looked like it was some set that they stole from Farscape.
Yes.
Dug up out of the Australia somewhere.
Did you want them to blow up the entire special effects budget on that one scene?
It's not even special effects.
Sacrifices have to be made for the sake of the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture kicked a lot of ass.
The movie's going to suck. That's the bigger picture.
It's not, okay? Look, I doubt that was part of the Guardian set. It was probably just something strewn together just to appease...
They could have done a better job.
But small percentage of Guardians fans there are.
Not just Guardians fans, but remember, people are obsessed with the Marvel Cinematic Universe now. Not obsessed, that's the wrong word. But people are invested in it. They want to know. So, normal people, not like you. So, when people actually stay for the end credits now more than usual, they want to see what's coming next. So when you show shit like that, it's not just showing us anymore. You're showing it to people who are not reading comics, who like this movie franchises. That's what you're showing it to now. And if that is any indication, is what I'm saying. And
what
maybe
did you expect, Ben?
What did I expect?
Yes.
I didn't have any expectations, but I'm saying.
Okay, so what are your expectations then?
It could have looked a little nicer, and it looked a little more seamless than a cheap knockoff set. That is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. All right. Fair enough. I personally didn't pay it much mind. This whole Infinity Stone thing did kind of bend my mind for a second, because I'm like, that's not an oval-shaped stone with a single primary color laced into it. And I had to say, I was kind of hoping they would have made the power source in Loki's scepter from the Avengers the first stone. I thought that would have made
mind gem or whatever?
Yeah, that would have made a bit more sense to me, considering
it
that it's
still
shaped like a fucking stone,
it can do
stone-like things like control your mind. But Tesseract being that, I don't hate it. I mean, that just makes me wonder now what the fuck happened to Red Skull at the end of Captain America.
What happened to that staff?
I think the Avengers held on, or maybe Thor took it back to Asgard with him when he took Loki.
Either Thor has it or S.H.I.E.L.D. has it. I doubt S.H.I.E.L.D. has it.
Nah, I don't think Thor would have left that with them. If he took the Tesseract and Loki from them, he wasn't going to let him keep that staff. But that having been said, like I said, I wasn't so much looking at the set design... Ben. I was, however, checking out the collector, as we will see him forthcoming in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I got faith. I mean, he seems sufficiently creepy. Although, funny story, going back through my head, when I came back from the movie, I sat down. I actually kind of confused the collector and the controller for a second. I kind of got them mixed up. I was kind of like, oh, so he's going to, like, mind control people for Thanos? I'm like, oh, wait, he's the other guy. That guy, yeah, okay. But Benicio Del Toro did a fine job. I'm sure we'll see more of his acting chops in Guardians of the Galaxy as far as that goes. But
what kind of made me smile, though? When he was doing that whole hand thing.
Oh, right. He's like the whoosh. Whoosh.
I was like, yeah, what the fuck was all of that shit?
All right. Let's have Gamer speak. John, what did you think of that?
No, he's spoken enough.
I know. I just talk so much. I was having the joygasms of finding out they mentioned the Infinity Stone gem, you know, suppository, whatever. I agree that the set design was kind of cheap looking. It did look like it was a after effect, as a, you know, like it was made for video. But the fact that they put it in there and it makes you set up for either Guardians or something with Thanos, you got to love that. When they mentioned it was the collector, I was just like, oh shit, here comes the elders. And like I posted on Twitter/Facebook last week after I saw that, I said, you're going to bring in the Infinity Gauntlet, you better be bringing in Adam Warlock somehow. And I'm, you know...
Might be stretching their credibility over at Marvel Films a bit much.
Okay, if we're going to have a raccoon with a machine gun in the next movie with a talking...
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
And it's going to have the same IQ as the actor portraying him, then, you know, they can do it.
Still, try explaining to the average moviegoer, there's this character, Adam Warlock, but there's also Warlock, and they're two people of the same mind, and one's evil and one's good.
They'll dumb it down. You know,
they will.
Yeah, they'll make them from Coruscant.
And
but if they were going to make
and
it...
if I have my way, what's his name? Forget it, move on.
They'll have Ben Kingsley play... They'll have Ben
no,
Kingsley
not Ben Kingsley.
Play
him,
and in turn out that it's actually not
they'll have
Warlock.
Matthew McConaughey play him. That's
why would you do that? Why would you wish that on anyone?
Stop your Matthew McConaughey. He's an amazing actor.
Lost. I mean, come on.
He's an amazing actor. I don't know why you wouldn't want him in this movie.
Ain't not
an
amazing thing he's done.
What
not you know. Things.
The
Lincoln, not the, women.
The Lincoln movie. Lawyer. It's one. No. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, but then there's Sahara, so, you
every
know.
Actor makes bad choices. Don't put that on Matthew.
Not every actor.
Jackie Chan has never made a bad choice.
Daniel Day-Lewis has never
made
a bad choice.
Huh?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay, you got that right. fucking have him play Adam Warlock, then.
That would be awesome. Are you
oh,
kidding
dear
me?
God.
Dude, he's a method actor. He would go around thinking he's Adam Warlock, and his mind would fracture because he's trying to be Adam Warlock and Warlock at the same time.
Okay, we need to wrap this up. That was my fault. We need to wrap this episode up.
That's all right.
So, Gammer, what did you think? Or continue your thoughts, because we interrupted
you. What did
you
like? He hasn't actually said what he didn't like.
Oh, what I didn't like? Well, basically, y'all pretty much said I did not like how Malekith was the War of the Cardboard style villain, but it said it was good for what it was, and other than that, I really didn't have any complaints other than, it did kind of, when I was seeing the Dark Elves assault in on Coruscant, as you would like to say, I was expecting to hear, you know, not so much the sound effects, but the friggin' music, you know? Like,
yeah, this had sucky music. There was nothing spectacular.
I was expecting to hear like the Star Destroyer theme or something, you know, as they're coming in and attacking. That and not enough war and not enough Warriors 3. You know, I love Warriors
3. I can't believe he said that. We should have. There was no Warriors 3. They dropped off the Hispanic guy.
Warriors 2 for the movie.
They got rid of the minority. Boo, boo.
Not enough Volstagg to begin with, and definitely not enough Hogan. I like Hogan and Grimm.
Too, for that matter.
Yeah, I thought Sif would be a much bigger role in the movie.
I would have loved Fangio to get more time.
Sif is badass. I love her.
Yeah,
it wasn't enough of her to say for me to say that. I would have liked to have seen more, but you know, she him. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing her as Wonder Woman. I'm saying
well,
that.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well,
she's a leading candidate.
Well, this is not the DC podcast. Okay.
I know. But to wrap it up on my part, I pretty much the only thing I was, you know, Christopher Eccleston, I love him to death, and I liked him as McAuliffe, but I almost kept expecting him to go fantastic. You know, being a Doctor Who fan, I was almost expecting him at one point to just bust that out. You know, sorry to sound like a stupid nerd, but that was just, I was like, and my wife, but I will give credit on the makeup. My wife did not realize who that was until I had to actually mentioned that to her, and she's like, "That was him." I was like, "Yes."
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I can dig that.
The Dark Elves mask reminded me of the Court of Owls mask, and they were fucking creepy.
That too.
They were creepy. And
actually, you know who they reminded me of? I kid you not. The ghost from 300.
Yeah, I can see that.
They didn't talk. They just went about and did the things that they did. You know, with. Like, I don't want to say efficiency, but, you know, they had a task and they went about and did it silently. I that's what they reminded me of.
Uh-huh.
The fact that they used freaking pulse grenades. Which was
awesome. Fucking Halo. Nice.
That was awesome. You can't tell me that was awesome. When the
that
fucking
was hot.
That was, oh. Yeah. That should be a gun. That needs to be a gun in a video game. Fast.
Yeah. My last complaint, the only complaint I really had was with Curse. They didn't make it to where he was the big badass character that he was in the comic.
Yeah.
And it was like an actual curse that they give to a dark elf. And I mean, yeah, he was badass, but he was, and I kept telling my wife, he should be about three times taller and about four times stronger. And
he didn't do half bad for what they gave him though.
No, I know.
He did handle Thor. He handled Thor. Thor would have lost had it not for, you know, him getting, you know, caught with, you know, the I think he got hit with a gravity bomb. So
yes, he did.
I mean, there was that, and I could, again, I had your complaint, but because he got taken out the way that he did, I let it go. You know, like a few other things, I could let that go because I did like this movie. Like
he was Dark Elf Origami after they got done with him. I mean, you know, but yeah, that was about the only thing I had about it, other than the mid-credit scene was, you know, cheap looking a little bit. But like I said, I expect that for something like that just because it's like it could be a direct-to-video bonus type thing. And it did set up for what they're getting ready to come out with here in the next year or so.
August 2014.
Yep. And they didn't try to shoehorn Winter Soldier in there.
That would have been weird.
I would have been like, how the fuck does this fit in with Thor? But you never know. You know?
Can you kill a god, Winter Soldier?
Yep. Hey, at least we didn't. We also didn't have McAuliffe go, "I am Asgard's reckoning," you know, that kind of thing. But you know, I was half expecting that.
When Asgard is ashes, then you'll have my permission. My
permission
to die.
Yep.
The fucking internet has ruined Bane for me from that movie because I love Bane in that movie, and now I can't watch that movie anymore without laughing or giggling. I hate the internet sometimes. Okay, anyways, let's wrap this up. Last credit sequence basically sets up Thor and the Avengers, where now he's on Earth with his love of his life.
Yeah.
Which I was like, "Oh, that's sweet," because I'm a sentimental.
Yay! Person. Yay!
I will call it now. I have a feeling she'll be gacked within the first 5 minutes of the Avengers film.
If that happens, I hope that doesn't happen. Well,
oh, and are we going to address the wandering ice beast?
Well, that was great. Well, I have a theory that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be dealing with that soon.
I think that's what they're going to be doing.
Maybe that's where Fitzsimmons gets freaking killed because of that damn thing.
Oh, don't say that, Ben. Don't say that, Ben.
Kill the guy, leave the girl.
Okay, fine. That Fitz, right? Fitz is the guy?
Whichever one is the guy. You go.
Okay.
Leave the girl.
All right, anyways. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, tune into our regular scheduled podcast after about a month off. But we go see Thor: Dark World for the continuing adventures that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Woo! It is taser-worthy!